Good morning. Good morning. Oh, lovely to see you here. I'm just checking who hates football, and you're all here, so that's good. Well, briefly, some announcements before we hand over our meeting to Captain. And the first announcement is that there will be tea and coffee served in the usual place following our worship. And then at 12:05, there'll be an open air, a witness on the triangle. I'm sure there'll be someone passing by who doesn't like football who'd rather listen to the band, but we're going to hold the open air there this morning. It's a quiet week in the church this week, but I just remind you that on the 9th of September, the Stride and Ride, I think I called it Park and Ride last week. Well, I expect some of the cyclists would be glad to park for a little while. And that's from 9 o'clock in the morning. And as I said last week, it's great that the volunteers list is full. And thank you very much if you're on that list. On the 10th of September, the Spa Gardens down by the hut, as the band and songsters will be providing music. And our own Simon Scott will be leading the worship there. And we invite you to join us. Finally, on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, there is a short prayer meeting that's held in the community hall. And if you wish to join, then please just go in just before 10. Or if you have any prayers you'd like them to say on your behalf for people who you know need prayers, then please, I think Dougie is the man to see about the prayers for that. So if you do that, that'd be great. And now, Captain, it's all yours.
Let's put them in context. Let's put them in context. Jesus came down, died for us, and he wants to draw near to us, and we can come and express our gratitude to him this morning. And to be fair, frankly, I don't care about England. Sorry. I invite you. No, there was two things I wanted to talk about before we start. And the first was the prayer meeting, and I'm going to cast my vision for that prayer meeting. My vision is this: is that we were going to start in the community hall, and we were going to pray, and we were going to pray, and people were going to add to our numbers, and we were going to take this place over. And our Sunday morning before worship was going to be focused 100% on prayer. And we were going to have to shut the band up because we were praying. Prayer is not an option. It's not a gift to a particular set of people. It's a gift for all of us. And it's one that we had better use. And it's one that we had better use together. 10 o'clock, Sunday morning. Let's be seeing you, to use a Norwich phrase. And the second one is this, and it's open air evangelism. And I've said this before, and I think I'm going to say this every week from now on. Evangelism is everyone's problem. It's not the band's problem. And the idea is that we go out there and that we show that we're a warm, welcoming, diverse community. And you never know, this being a small town, chances are you're going to bump into someone you know. You might have a nice conversation, and in some way that person might be blessed. It's all of our responsibility. So, the band is going out after the meeting, and they'll play. I understand that not everyone can do that. But most of us can be out there, we can be singing along, and we can be showing that we are a vibrant and nice Christian community that others might want to be a part of. So, you don't seem convinced. Good, that's better. I invite you to join in with me on a responsive call to worship that's going to be shown on the screens before you. Lord, come Lord, and be one with us. We invite you to open our hearts to receive your love. And together, come now Lord, and pour your love into our lives once again. Come, Lord, and be one with us. We invite you to open our eyes to see your glory. Come, Lord. Lord, for we are waiting to see your face. Come, Lord, and be one with us. We invite you to open our minds to understand your grace. Come now, Lord, for we want to experience all the blessings you want to give us. Come, Lord, and be one with us. Come now, Lord, we are waiting and watching and listening. We are ready to encounter your glory and seek your will for our lives. Come, Lord, and keep us alert to your calling. Come now, Lord, we are ready to honor you with our very being. Amen. So I invite you to stand, of course, if you are able, as we join together in singing the words, "Thine is the kingdom, Lord," to the tune "Dia de Mata." Let my heart be changed, renewed. Sorry. Flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Let's sing together. Thank you. us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving presence in our midst this morning, Lord. And Lord, may we find rest Heavenly Father, we worship you and we adore you this morning because you are our God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that accompanies us. We pray this morning that we would have ears to listen. So we pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts. That you would clear our minds of distractions. Because we want to hear from you, Lord, this morning. We think of the world around us, the many challenges, the many difficulties, the ongoing war in Ukraine. We think of the families of the victims of Lucy Letby. We think of people closer to home, Lord. We lift David Doy to you this morning, who is far, far, far from well. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to him. And that you would fill him with your peace, Lord. We thank you for Dorothy, who accompanies him through this, Lord, and we admire her for her devotion to David, Lord. But we ask that you would give her your strength. We think of Maureen Cates this morning, who's been mentioned already in the prayer meeting, Lord. And we raise up all those people that belong to this family that have not been named, Lord, this morning. We raise them to you who are not here for whatever reason, good or bad, Lord. We pray that they would experience something of your presence this morning, Lord. Be with us this morning, we pray. Encourage us, challenge us, motivate us, equip us. Be to us what we need you to be to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jim's getting his camera ready. I'm in trouble now. Children, do you want to come up and... I want to show you something. Oops, that's not part of it. And I could do this with a proper egg, but I chose not to, and it's paid off. And it's paid off, but just be aware, Glennis and James and Caroline and Christine, that you are in the splash zone. So just beware. But today, I just want to tell you about something really, and that God sends us to be his people. God sends us to do things, and we see this in the Bible all the time. God sent Abraham to be a blessing unto other people. God sent Moses to set his people free. Jesus sent David to fight Goliath and become his people.
So in my school I normally pray.
Do you? Brilliant. Well, we've just prayed. And did you pray then? We'll pray again later then, shall we? Make sure that happens. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, he's a good man, is Pastor James. Well done. And God sends us. And God sends us too. Jesus sent Peter to start the church. Peter sends us to be his disciples. And what is wonderful is that when God sends us, we always land where he sent us to go. Martha, what happens when God sends us? Do you want to do what we did yesterday? Just flip the plate. Flip the plate. The plate. When God sends us, we always end up in the right place. Nice and hard. Yeah? Flick the plate. And when God sends us, we always land in the right place. We always end up, if we are obedient and we listen to Jesus, we listen to God. Anyone else want to go? Nice and hard on the plate. Oh, too hard. Nice and straight, and you'll see it works perfect. Oh, I'm glad I didn't bring the real eggs out today. But I think the point is made, isn't it? When we're obedient, when we do what God tells us to do, when we go according to God's will, we always land in the right place. So do you want to try again? And if you do it nice and straight, before we get this toilet roll too wet... Nice and straight. So no. Nice and straight. Straight. So you're coming from below. I want you to come nice and straight like that, okay? We'll practice later. We'll let this dry, right? And we'll practice later. But thank you very much, everyone, for taking part. But there's an important lesson here, isn't there? That when God sends us and we are obedient and we follow what he tells us to do, we always end up in the right place. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So we'll put this away and we'll have a go later, yeah? We'll have a go later. But I've got a song to sing. It's got actions in it. Do you want to join with me? We know it quite well. If you don't know the action, you'll learn them quickly. It's going to shine from the inside out. Let the whole world see you live in me. Something like that. Know me, love me, fill me, send me. Know me, love me, fill me, send me. Yeah, do you want to follow me and do the actions? Let's face out this way so we can look at these beautiful people. And basically, they think that they're looking at us. But in fact, we're looking at how well they are doing the actions. Please stand, everyone, as we do this, sing this song together. Do you? Perfect.
Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. You know me and you love me, you feel me. So send me to shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Send me. Know me, love me, fill me, send me. Oh, know me, love me, fill me, send me. To shine inside out that the world will see. You live in me. Shine from the inside out that the world will see. You live in me. You know me and you love me. You feel me, so send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. To shine.
Well done, everyone. I think you are going to go out to Sunday school now. Rosie's got something prepared for you. So I send you off with Rosie. Have a wonderful time. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you later. You like football? I like football as well, but in moderation. We go over to the songsters now, who are going to present to us a song by His Hand. His hand, he leadeth me. And we're going to join in all together in singing Build Your Kingdom here. And as we sing, the collection plates will come around and we'll have the opportunity to worship through our giving. But over to the cut down worship band. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. Light wildfire our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive host released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation. Your kingdom's power, reaching near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on.
I realise that that one might not be as familiar as I thought it was, so we'll keep it. I used to find the Rend Collective, the group that sang that originally, really annoying, but I'm finding them less and less annoying, maybe as I grow old and my opinions are a bit less strong. I don't know. But there's one song that's doing the rounds in our house at the minute, and it's the Rend Collective, and it's blessing us. So I suppose perhaps I am more open to being blessed by something different now. Perhaps. I'll turn my mic off now because I'm going to join the band and we wouldn't like to cause any hearing loss this morning. But the band's going to play a wonderful hymn arrangement. I Know Thou Art Mine.
Thank you.
Let us turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter. And I will be reading from verses 28 to 32. And just to be clear from the beginning, the context of this parable is in a discussion, shall we say, between Jesus and the leaders and the religious leaders of the time about where his authority comes from. So Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 to 32. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So I've rather unwittingly, or accidentally at least, entered into a series about parables, and I think I'm going to stick to parables that deal with wine and vineyards, and you might find that a shocking statement coming from a Salvation Army officer, but these parables have been speaking to me. As I told you last week when I was at summer school a couple of weeks ago, we were working through about five parables, and I'm holding on to these parables and sharing them with you. And last week, really, the main point of that I wanted you to hold on to, particularly when relating to wine and this idea of new wine, is that whenever the Bible talks about wine, uses wine as an image, we are talking about God doing something new. So last week we used that example from John chapter 2 of the wedding at Cana. So yes, Jesus kind of changing these six massive urns of water into wine does tell us something about his power. But if we look at this symbolically, well, he's also recalling these images from the Old Testament that wine was associated with God doing something new. So it's not random that the fourth evangelist chooses to put that as Jesus' first miracle in his gospel. And also, and coming back to the parable that we shared, the idea there that I wanted to kind of emphasize is that we needed to be flexible, but also watertight recipients if God were to do something new amongst us. But I felt last week that I hadn't made the Old Testament case for this imagery strong enough. So forgive me, because that's what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes or so. If you were to turn to Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9, you would read of the prophet prophesying to an era, to an age, when the Messiah would come to deliver his people. And well-aged wines would accompany rich food. So their hope, their expectation was related to this idea of a banquet, and wine plays an important role. Similar idea in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 10 to 14. And here it's in the context of the exile again, slightly different to Isaiah. But the returned exiles will enjoy a plentiful supply of all kinds of foodstuffs, but including wine. Joel chapter 3, verse 18, a prophecy well loved of salvationists. The prophet is looking forward to Judah's glorious messianic future. And Joel describes the mountains dripping with wine. We get the idea of plenty here. And this idea of the mountains dripping by wine is really taken up by Amos. And this is where we've got the strongest kind of idea of wine being associated with this new messianic age, with God doing something new amongst his people. In Amos chapter 19, verse 13 to 14, we read this: "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills, and I will bring my people back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. So wine plays this important role in how God, or how God's prophets, explain to their people that something new was going to happen. If something new was going to happen, if they were going to be delivered, if they were going to be redeemed, well, wine was going to play a part in that, at least in image, if not in the actual celebration of it itself. So the parable that we are looking at today, I think, can be connected to that parable that we looked at last week of the wineskins, precisely because of that topic of wine and vineyard. Of course, it goes without saying, you know, Jesus is using an agrarian image. He is using an image that would relate to the people around him. These were people who had a close connection to the land, who depended on the land a lot more than we do. So yes, he's using an image that would relate to these people. And that is certainly the case here. But I do not think that we can abandon the symbolic level of wine and vineyard. So here is the parable in outline. A father asks his two sons to go out and work in the vineyard. One son goes, "Yes, father. Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir." And does nothing. The other son says quite strongly, "I will not, father." But he changes his mind and eventually gets to work. And I noted last week that parables can often be difficult to understand. You know, their meaning being lost in the mists of time. But this one seems fairly straightforward, doesn't it? The son that says yes but doesn't back it up, bad. The son that says no but does change his mind and then goes and puts a shift in the vineyard, good. You know, that initial response is the right response. But of course, we must consider this parable in its context. And it's the context I highlighted just before of that kind of conflict. And that conflict that really kind of characterizes Jesus' ministry throughout. That conflict between him and the religious leaders of the time who are asking about Jesus's authority. And Jesus creates this contrast, doesn't he, in response almost, in commentary to his own parable, between the religious leaders of the time and these tax collectors and prostitutes. So if we put that parable not only into its narrative context, as we have done just now, but if we put it into its symbolic context of the wine, of the vineyards, and of God's work amongst his people, well, then the story takes on a whole new dimension. Because the son that says yes and doesn't back it up really represents the religious authorities of the time. And the son that says no, that on the surface doesn't do the right thing, that seems to be the undeserving son, well, does kind of change his mind and get to work. And those are the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all the unlikely people that God was mixing with, that Jesus was mixing up at the time. So the attack on the religious leaders is clear. You look like good people. You look like you're doing the right things. You stand on street corners and pray. You do all the right rituals. You won't lift a finger on the Sabbath. You do. You look right. You do all the things that look right. But when God is doing a new thing in your midst, well, you're failing to recognize it. These people, on the surface, had it all together. But Jesus shows them that they were incapable of recognizing that this messianic era that they'd been expecting, this era when God would deliver them from the oppression that they experienced, had come and was amongst them and was embodied in the very person of Jesus Christ. So I think the implication for us ought to be rather clear. Are we walking the walk or talking the talk? Are we joining in with God or are we going through the motions? I wonder, because that's the attack that Jesus is making, isn't he? That's the attack he's making, the attack on hypocrisy. And perhaps that is something that applies to some of us here. We put our uniforms on, we look the part, we turn up to church religiously on a Sunday, but we're failing to recognize the wider work of God, whether that be in our lives or in the church around us or indeed in the world around us. Because that's the whole point of what we're talking about. And I think the second implication then for us this morning is this, is that the God can and will work through those people who look the least likely. And Jesus makes that point very clearly, doesn't he? Tax collectors, prostitutes, undesirables, the lowest of the low, because they have been open to Jesus Christ and his message, will see the kingdom of God before the people who, on the surface, on the face of it, got it right, did the right things, turned up to church, ticked the right boxes. So for us, I think there's a real kind of matter of wisdom and discernment here, and to not get caught up in the habits and in the practices and in the rituals that we think are the only vehicles or are the only aqueducts, I don't know why I've got that image in my head right now, of God's purposes amongst us. Takes a lot of wisdom, talks a lot of discernment, and a lot of drawing near to God and trusting in his will and in his purposes that he can do a new thing amongst us. But finally, are you working the vineyard? Are you working the vineyard? Are you saying, yes, God, I'm going to work this vineyard, I'm going to do your work, but you're neglecting it? I wonder if that speaks to any of us this morning. Because that's a challenge that I want us to look at this morning. The kingdom of God is here. It's embodied in Jesus. We know that the kingdom is unstoppable. The Bible tells us so. And though it might not seem the case to us in our immediate vicinity, the kingdom is growing. The church has never been bigger than today. The kingdom is unstoppable. Are we joining in? in tending God's vineyard? Are we getting our hands dirty, or are we making sure that we look right and that we look clean? Some thoughts for you this morning, and we go into to a reflective song, to a Salvation Army song. And is it so, a gift from me dost thou, dear Lord, request? Then speak thy will, whatever it be, obeying I am blessed. I have not much to give thee, Lord, for that great love which made thee mine. I have not much to give thee, Lord, but all I have is thine. You may feel, you may identify with those words. You may feel that you don't have much to give. But this morning I encourage you to be the son that gets his hands dirty, that gets involved in the vineyard, that does God's work, that gets involved in these new things that God is doing. Let's sing together. And is
Let us pray, Lord. Lord, make us fully aware that you are at work in us and amongst us. And Lord, may we respond to that favorably by doing whatever we can according to our gifts and abilities to join with you in your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We end our worship this morning together with song number 938, one of my favorites. We have caught the vision splendid of a world which is to be, when the pardoning love of Jesus freely flows from sea to sea. When all men and women included, of course, from strife and anger, greed and selfishness are free. When the nations live together in sweet peace and harmony. I am driven by this vision of the future hope that we hold in Jesus Christ. And it motivates, I hope, my actions and my words and my deeds. And I hope that is true for you too. So let us join together in singing these words, these inspirational words. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.